So let's have a look at the brief history of the church, and I'm sure that many of you will be familiar with much of it. We have a couple of past pastors here, Tom and Brian over there, for example. And we also have people who've been married in this church and who are celebrating, certainly the Burgess, John and Lois, Robin. Sorry, there were so many people came in at the start. John and Robin, who are celebrating their 57th anniversary, of course, when the church was oriented that way. So, in October 1912, the foundation stone was laid of what was then called the Takapuna Baptist Church on a section of land donated by a Mr. Rushbrook, who was a benefactor of a number of Baptist and nonconformist charities in Auckland. And in just a few short months, the church was opened on January the 4th, 1913, 110 years ago. And you'll notice from the photographs that it's in an isolated open area with minimal vegetation. Both events were covered by local and national newspapers, as was a, quote, social gathering with upwards of 100 people to welcome a new minister a year or so later. Now, the church was initially under the auspices of the Auckland Baptist Auxiliary, but in 1921 joined the Baptist Union, probably around the 1st of May 1921, when, as these advertisements from the Auckland Star newspaper show, the name of the church changed to Milford Baptist Church. That's the church, we think, 1921, the top picture, and the church is in Milford, is shown just there. You can see that this photograph was taken in 1920. The area is starting to develop around the church. In the 1930s, a hall was added to the rear of the church, and in the late 1950s, the church was extended, and you can see the extension forward of the belfry towards Dodson Avenue, with the porchway added a few years later. The centenary book, edited by David Speary, covers the history of the construction of the present building very well. And you can see a number of photographs taken at the time in the excellent photo display out in the foyer, covering that particular aspect, that Eileen Barclay and Sylvia Corrin have put up. And there are a number of other photographs covering the history of the church in the lobby, in the foyer, and in the lounge. And some spare copies of the book are available outside. If you would like one, we encourage you to leave a blue paper donation. In the 1990s, under the leadership of Tom Cabman, the church was turned through 90 degrees, and the foyer and offices were constructed, along with a new hall to replace the borer-ridden edifice that it had become. There is a very, as I mentioned, the history of the construction of this building is well covered in the book, but I was just reading it yesterday, and the original plan, for those who don't know, was to build this structure over the church so that it was a modification which would get round some of the planning rules, but borer saw that that was no longer possible. And so a minuscule piece of the church floor was left, and the mayor at the time said that it was the most extensive renovation that he'd ever seen. In the book, there's a comment that reads, "Throughout all the alterations over the past 100 years, the preaching of God's word and reaching out into the community was always foremost in our minds and efforts. Buildings and facilities were only a means to assist in this endeavor." But, of course, a church is not simply a building. As the Maori people say, he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It is people, people, people. And the church has been blessed with a number of very faithful servants over the 110-year history. The present membership book dates from 1940, and it records the foundation members from 1921 and the names and dates upon which people subsequently entered into membership. It does not, of course, record the dates when people started attending the church. The earliest current member is entry number 218, Raymond Brown, August 1945, and raised with us today. Lynn Brown, nay Crier, entered into membership in 1950, although I understand that she attended the church with her parents from an early, very early age. In fact, I think as a baby. Other current members who qualify for their over 60-year long service badges are Beryl Thompson, 1956, Phil Briscoe, 1959, Greta Alcorn, 1962, and Phil Harvey, 1963. And a number of others, like the Currans and possibly many others here today whom I don't know, were involved with the youth groups in and around the 1960s. But they moved away or served overseas and are not recorded as entering membership until later. Many of the current stalwarts have only served for a mere 40 or 50 years. Some of us less than that.